Our new podcast sponsor is BarkBox.com/happy. Let me tell you how happy I am about BarkBox. A lot of you know we have a puppy named Walter, and he gets into everything if he is not entertained. BarkBox delivers a monthly subscription of 3 to 4 toys and treats to our home every month. And the best part is they tested them all on their own pets. So you know they're the best. And right now, my listeners get a free box with every 6-month subscription. Just head over to BarkBox.com/happy. Hopefully you'll be happy too. Hi, I'm Michaela, a psychotherapist.
Hi, I'm Savannah, not a psychotherapist.
Welcome to our podcast, Be You, Find Happy.
Real life conversations about life and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you so much for coming back to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. I am so excited to share with you our guest today, Shireen from Law of Positivism on Instagram. I originally connected with her about a year ago, and her posts every day are so inspirational and so positive and happy focused that I definitely made it a mission to reach out to her and try to share some of her beautiful insights with you. Ironically, she is in Sweden and I am obviously in Northern California. So as it would work out, we recorded the podcast at like 9 o'clock at night, my time, 7 a.m. her time, 6 a.m. her time. And I'm really thankful for that because her energy is so peaceful and so calm. And I was glad that I was winding down my day to really get to take in everything she shared. And thank you, Shireen, for being on this podcast. I'm so hopeful to have her back because I feel like there's so much more to tap into. But I hope you enjoy this as much as I did.
Thank you so much for being willing to be on this podcast. It means a tremendous amount.
Of course. It's a really good podcast. So I'm excited to talk to you and to see what we discuss and what things we get to learn today.
Wonderful. Well, I've been following you for quite some time, and I just have to say you are definitely one of my favorite Instagram accounts.
Oh, thank you so much. That makes me very happy.
Absolutely love that. Energetically, I feel like, and maybe it's just because at the root we are all connected, but every time you do a post, I'm like, that is exactly what I needed to hear today.
That's so good. Yeah, I try to always feel and just channel whatever is coming through. And I think that when you see something, it's really synchronicity that you really need to see those words at that point of time. So that makes me happy.
It's beautiful that you even use the term synchronicity, because I've literally been using that term to explain events that have been happening in my life lately, as there's no other explanation for it other than some sort of universal synchronicity.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful.
So I have so many things on the list that I want to pick your brain about, but one of the things that's coming up for me right now is how do you kind of, you described, you know, seeing the word, so to speak, how do you kind of tap into what messages are coming through? How does that work? And maybe we should back up and have you explain, you know, tell people a little bit about who you are, Shireen, and all that you do with Law of Positivism on Instagram.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I'm from Sweden, and currently I'm working as a yoga teacher, teaching both Hatha yoga and Yin yoga. I also work with Reiki healing and Law of Positivism, which has been a big part of my life for a couple of years now, is how I reach out on a bigger scale, because I just wanted to have a medium or a channel to reach out to more people. You can do so much one-to-one with someone, but you can also have a even bigger impact through using social media in a positive and uplifting way. So yeah, so I've been, when I started Law of Positivism, I felt the urge to share what I've learned and what I used through my journey. So when I started Law of Positivism, I just set an intention to be open to channeling clear messages. Maybe in the beginning, I thought it was my words and my own knowledge and wisdom. But also, after a while, I noticed that the words were flowing in a different way, and I could write things that I never. I usually try to not put so much logic into what I'm writing. I'm just trying to feel and to express something that is higher than the logical mind.
I think that's a beautiful thing, and I feel that there are some people who have, and we can circle back on this later, but have awoken to the process of kind of letting go to let in, if that makes any sense.
Exactly.
And I kind of can relate even to what you're talking about, because there have been times where I've done a morning meditation and then gone to do a daily post, and all of a sudden the message is so clear on what needs to go with that particular photo in that moment. And then someone will reach out to me and say, "Oh my gosh, you know, your post today." And I think in my mind, if I'd been forcing this in any kind of way and not just letting go to let in, I wouldn't have had that message. I would have been forcing something else.
Exactly. Because the mind can be so limited by thoughts and beliefs that might not be our own, and we're colored by this programmed thoughts. So when we go beyond that, we can really channel something higher, and that could be our own inner wisdom, but also something higher than that. I think also what really, really comes through for me is also going through things daily, meeting challenges, getting insights, experiencing synchronicities. I usually write from my own experience. So as I'm writing, it's not just advice for everyone else, it's advice for myself as well. I'm listening to what I need to hear through my writing. So it's always comforting to get that those messages.
So as a person who's like-minded in that way, I also feel very powerfully driven to writing, and it's always been a very therapeutic outlet, or we could almost
exactly
say. Yes.
It's beautiful.
So how do you tap into these messages, with these kind of words that come to you, and how do you create the space to hear them in such a busy modern world?
Well, yeah, we are very busy, and my days are usually it varies, but usually busy, and I try to slow down in between work and everything else that I'm doing, and just to I think being in nature is very important. That's when I ground myself also. I usually in the mornings really set the intention for the day, to start the day in a good way, and to also be very intentionally open to receiving messages and clear words that I can express. So I think if you are willing to open up and you really put your heart into it, it just comes to you. And it really varies. Sometimes it can be when I'm just contemplating or I'm in silence, but sometimes it's just when I'm happened, or I'm experiencing some feeling or emotion, or someone says something to me, or I see something, I see clearly a situation that I need to transform into a message, that's when I get the inspiration to write also. So it's really based on experiencing and also receiving in between all the busy things in life.
Oh yes, that's beautiful. I know you've worked in the shaman world and the Reiki world. You mentioned spending time in nature. Do you do Shinrin Roku, like forest bathing, or what is your, how do you spend time in nature?
So it's not so advanced. I try to on a daily basis walk close to the lakes and being a little bit in the forest, just to be there and to experience and to come back to my roots, because otherwise we're at is where you live, but here we have the possibility to walk everywhere and to take our bikes everywhere. We're not like confined within like walls and in a car, so it's positive in that way here in Sweden. But we also tend to walk from one place to another and not experience the nature in between. So I'm trying to soak up everything when I'm on my bike. I try to walk outside during my breaks and just to be there. And I love to just look at the trees and the leaves and everything. And just sometimes I just get the urge to put my hands on the trees or just touch the leaves or the grass and just to feel the energy that Mother Earth always is there to provide. So that's one of the things. And when it gets warmer here in Sweden, which we had 6 months of cold winter here, but now when it gets warmer,
we've had a long winter as well.
You too. it's really challenging. I think that's when we get out from. I've been trying to be outside anyways, but it's not as easy to be longer periods of time in nature and to sit down because it's freezing. But when the spring and the summer comes, it's really just being outside as much as possible and putting your feet onto the ground or with your hand, touch the nature directly, not just observe it, just be in it, because we're made from the fabric of Mother Earth. So we have like this grounded body that is one with the earth, but we also have this spirit that is up there somewhere, one with the universe. So we have to balance in life, and we can't always be up because then you feel like an alien, and then you can't just be here down and just feel like you're like stuck here. It's like finding a balance.
Oh, I love that. I just absolutely love that. And I love that you point out that it can just be the simplicity of it for people who might be listening that live in a busy city. It can simply be when you're walking, you know, from your car to the building, just noticing the things around you. And I love that it's readily available to everyone if they're willing to invite that in.
Thanks.
I notice in my life I have like these spirit animals that come to me and they hang around in you know for a period of time, and I know they have a message. A couple years ago I was driving down the road, it was late, raining, my son was in the back seat, very young at the time, and I thought there was like a trash bag in the middle of the road, and so I don't even know why I stopped, but I stopped and I got out. And as I got closer, I realized it was an owl in the middle of the road. And it was just staring right at me. And we had a long, maybe 5-10 seconds of just pure eye-to-eye contact. And then it flew away.
Wow. That's powerful. That's wisdom.
And I really, that's really and I nice. Get this often. I get these spirit animals that come to me in those kind of ways. Hummingbirds and hawks. They're usually birds of some sort. And feel blessed in that way, yeah. that I've, and you've described this before, and I want to get into this, but the waking up and kind of the path to clarity. And I really feel like that's a part of me that has done enough work to get to have the gift of those messages in that way.
Yeah. And animals are really powerful. They are here also for a different reason than us, but they also have this amazing, they are not in their logical minds. That's not how they operate. They are so synced with the earth and with the universe, and they are there to also teach us something too. So that's one of the things about nature. It's not just the trees and the grass and the bushes. It's also about observing animals. We can learn so much from animals, and it's really powerful that they appear to you in physical form as well. Sometimes it can be in dreams that you see animals, or you start thinking about an animal. But it's really, you can learn a lot, and they are also helping us to understand ourselves more and to teach us how to connect and to live. So it's really nice.
Absolutely. I completely wholeheartedly agree. So how does this waking up work? Like, if somebody's listening and they want to tap into this kind of more spiritual side, or, you know, this more in tune, grounded, or energetically universal side of themselves, how do they wake up to this? How do they filter out to find the path to clarity that you've talked about in the past?
I think the waking up is the path for each person is different. And I think if we, you know how it is, if you want something really bad, like you're in that space that's, you don't have this, but you want it.
Yes.
Then you know you're putting out a energy that is of lack to the universe. Then you continue being in that mode. But if you just release and let go, just being aware that you want to walk the path is enough. It's like you don't always need to do a million things. Let things come to you instead. So, of course, you can take your own actions to start doing some rituals and practices that you connect with. But all type of practices are not doesn't fit everyone either. It's like you have to find your own way. And sometimes we don't realize, and I see and hear this a lot also through my Instagram, that things are really tough in someone's life. Things are not working. They're disappointed at things in their lives. But that is one thing that can actually help you to, that is what you need on your path. And sometimes it is when, I really think that when you've went through a lot of difficult things, that's when you find something deeper within you that it always sustains you, and it's always there. And you, maybe you didn't know it before everything happened in your life. And sometimes we need to work with those shadows and what's happened in your life to go deeper within. And yeah, sometimes it can be like something traumatic, but sometimes it can be also a pattern in your life that is reoccurring, that you start working with that and you face that fear or shadow or something that is deep with, because sometimes we're also again blocked by our, when we're always up in the mind, we don't, I see it as taking an elevator down from your mind down to your heart. That's when you feel your body, when you feel your emotions, that's a way of just waking up. Like it's like children. If you look at children, they're not up in their mind. They just do what they feel like, and they see the world without, be like, it's not, their vision is clear, And I think that's important also, how we speak to children and what we expose them to is really important. Keep that clear mind. So, you know, like being in touch with your, I wrote about the third eye the other day, just being, seeing clear. It's not our physical eyes that can have, like you can read and you can study and all of that, but there's also inner wisdom and a knowledge that you carry with you from your roots that you need to get in touch with. So the path is very different, but just being aware is good, but not feeling that you are in lack or that you are not where you should be spiritually, because then you're resisting what you want to achieve. And awakening is different for everyone. In this lifetime, awakening could be one thing for one person, that's what their soul needs this lifetime. Another person maybe needs to go to a monastery to awaken. It's so diverse.
Just listening to you talk, I have to say, it like warms me inside my heart. I feel like you have so much gift in the way of your words and what you're saying, and I'm sure anybody listening will feel that coming through as well. And I feel so honored because it's so much bigger than just your posts on Instagram, but to hear your inflection and your spirit from within is just amazing.
You mentioned
that the greatest, what I kind of took away from it is that sometimes the greatest change can come from a space of uncomfortability.
Yeah.
And exactly. I love that. It gives
and it hope. Happens. Yeah, exactly. We need to keep, like, understand that things that happen really happen for our benefit, although in the moment, maybe it doesn't feel like that. And we all go through, we all have things to work with, and to, we all are going through different things in life. So we need to just, it's also about letting go of control, because I think control is really something that many of us need to struggle with.
I wrote that down and underlined it. I wrote let go, okay. Underlined, because as you were talking, because I'm like, that is a message that I really need to listen to. And I don't think I listen to it as well as I should be. I get myself into a lot of pickles trying to control everything. And
exactly.
I think I create a lot of anxiety from that too.
It's really, yeah, it does create the anxiety, because anxiety is also like trying to control something and thereby running away from where you are right now. And that's not what we want. We want to be here and now. We don't want to try to, and usually it's, you can't control anything outside of you. Things happen in life. You have to accept that. What if we came into this life and we knew everything that would happen, and we just had everything planned out, and we knew Tuesday at 8 o'clock this will happen? Imagine living life like that. We didn't come to this life to have everything planned out. We came to this life to experience it like this, to not be conscious. Maybe our soul has some intuition and some knowledge about the challenges that it wanted to experience, but we're not supposed to know everything. So I think just letting go and just surrender to life and to ourselves, it takes a lot of weight out, away from you.
It does. And I've actually had to actually physically say, what are you trying to do right now? Why are you trying to control this? And what will you open up for yourself if you just let go? And the answer more often than not is that I'm going to open up a realm of possibilities if I let go of some of the control.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's my soul's journey in this lifetime.
That's good. That's good that you know. And maybe it is. And then you get through that. And then you have a next thing that you need to work on. So it's a constant working. And then, I mean, most of us don't live in the mountains and meditate all our lives. So we're here for a reason.
So the funny thing is I live in the mountains and and pretty far away from any grocery store or anything. So I am spending quite a bit of time.
You are.
I don't think that's an accident because I relocated about 10 years ago from San Diego, from the city. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it was my life journey going, nope, you're supposed to be back there. Sorry, honey, get your little butt back to the mountains.
Exactly. It's so beautiful. It's powerful. The mountains are so powerful. Wow.
Also mentioned about children, and I had the biggest smile on while you were saying that the other day. Yeah. My son, he chose to wear neon green socks to his baseball game, and I was like, you know what, you be you, go ahead, wear what you want to wear. And all the moms were like, that looks so great with their baseball outfits. He should, you know, they should all wear it. And it reminded me about how free-spirited they are, and they don't walk around with the judgments that we do or the fears that we create as we get older, I think.
Exactly. It's really, they are so pure. I think it was in connection to International Women's Day, but I saw, I think it was a Norwegian film, a short commercial that where they had boys and girls, they got a task to collect a different color of put it into containers, and they were different pairs of boys and girls, and then they were organizing it together, collaborating, and it was really nice to see. And then in the end, they got a reward, and the girls got like half a bowl of candy, and the boys got a full bowl of candy.
And
you should see their faces when they receive it, because they look at each other, and the boy is surprised that he has more. And the girl is like also surprised why she would, and then how they reflect upon it. It's like both the girls and boys said, but that's not fair. Why should I, we did the same work. Why should she get less than me? And they willingly gave from their own bowl. And that's what I mean. They know right from wrong from the beginning.
Yes.
They are not selfish. They are not motivated by greed or they don't know those concepts. So we can learn a lot from children.
Oh, you're absolutely so right. I have a 7-year-old and I am constantly amazed at, you know, what he teaches me about life. And like you said, even right from wrong, and how much he picks up on, and we can kind of, this will be a great segue into the topic of empaths, but you know, he just seems to know if I'm having a time where I need, I love you, mommy, or something like that. He just intuitively offers up this support. And I just don't see that in adults so naturally like that.
No, exactly. They are just the pure love. And we also have to see that we have been that as well. Like our soul has been in a smaller and more clear body as well. So we can always come back to that. and they are really, they say that children are really clear seeing and clairvoyant and very empathic, because I mean their soul has just entered. And it's really true what you say also. I think rather than us adults thinking that we need to teach children stuff, but they are here to teach us. They are our teachers.
I had my son later in life. I was 30, you know, I guess that's not later anymore these days, but I was 30 and I, you know, I'm so glad that I did not miss this life opportunity, because I really feel that he has added such a tremendous amount to my world experience and my human experience. Yeah. And also even just, you know, the fear of, like you said, we have to be careful what we do, you know, say to them and stuff, because they do soak it all in. And even that's been, you know, part of my process for sure as a mom, the mom guilt thing. So you talk about clairvoyance and, you know, being an empath, and obviously you definitely have attained that. Can you talk about what an empath is? I know people hear this buzzword, but what does that really mean?
Yeah. So I can speak from my own experience. And empaths, I think definitely empaths are born like this, because you can remember things from childhood. Maybe all of us had an empathic trait. All children are sensitive, I think. So you can remember, maybe I can remember feeling what others were feeling, like what my parents were feeling. Also sometimes feeling like you know what they're thinking. You can hear their words. So it's like, and then taking that on, that's we have to work with. I think I posted a video yesterday on an empath's journey throughout the day. It's on Facebook. You are like a sponge. So, and all people have different purposes in this lifetime. I think empath to really clear out all the emotions and things that are happening in the world, but we just need to know what to do with that, to transmute it. It's like you need to be aware that you are soaking up so much, and sometimes also protecting your energy body from soaking up everything, because I think many of us, we're like exhausted in the end of the day, especially if we've been around a lot of different people and characters and stress and everything. In my past works, it was really hard for me to be in an area where like the dining rooms or the cafeterias, because I could feel everyone's stress, although everyone seemed happy and chatting and talking. I could feel that underneath people were really stressed out, and it really affected me. But that's when I started realizing also at that time when I was exposed to it that, yeah, I'm really sensitive to other people's feelings, and I really need to feel strong and energized to be around that for too long. So I need to regain energy. I can't be depleted and go into that area. Then I will get even more depleted. You get very tired. You can sleep like 11 hours and just feel you're not getting the rest. So I really practiced on managing that. And I think the empathy part also, it is closely tied to your spiritual practice and journey. I think it got more and more clear. You open up even more when you're conscious about what you're eating and putting into you're eating from a high vibration, and you're trying to nourish your body, and at the same time you're also doing your physical practices. You're tuning in. And the more you do that, the more you open up and the more you can feel and sense. But also, you had those traits. I remember that from being a child, that I was like that. But what's really amazing now is that we have so much knowledge about that, and it ties together with the highly sensitive person traits as well.
So I'm just sitting here and I'm nodding. I wish you could see that part. We're a couple thousand miles apart. But you know, as a psychotherapist, on my therapy days, I've actually felt if I have any kind of like underlying like flu or anything respiratory or anything like that going on that not 100% on par, at the end of my therapy days, I feel a physical headache from, I think, just taking on so much of what they're, you know, of what they're sharing. And I've noticed even recently, my husband's been incredibly stressed with what's going on at his work. And I feel this like, almost like, I mean, it sounds almost like a heart attack to say, but like an elephant on my chest. And, you know, people will say, well, is there something you're stressed about? And I say, no, there's not anything that I can think of that I'm very stressed about. But I think it's because I'm taking on everyone else and not properly. And my yoga practice hasn't been what it probably should be this week and the last 2 weeks. And so I think I've been taking it on and not clearing it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Get physical symptoms from taking on others' emotions, and that's a part of also being a healer. That if you are healing someone, to know what they are feeling and where they need the healing, it's part of that. And I think if you are an empath, certain jobs can be tougher, because if you're I relate to the getting a headache. Like I just remember strongly a conversation with a friend, which in the end, like after an hour, I had such a headache and I never get headaches like that. It was so clear that this conversation, the energy of it, the words, what she was feeling, it was and I was in a sensitive environment then, because there was a lot of other people around the whole area, so so being very very clear with yourself, having your emotional and energetic boundaries, and also maybe using I've been using crystals for many years now. I think certain crystals really help to protect our energetic field also, and then also realizing that maybe we have this empathic gift. I can feel my empathic side is really beneficial when I can also maybe put my hand on someone, because then I feel that I can instead of just soaking up and listening and hearing, I ground down that person through, it's a part of maybe of the Reiki practice. But
Reiki, right.
Yeah, because yesterday I was in a situation where I was sitting in a waiting room and a girl came in and was very upset and sad, and she was in pain. And I could directly feel what she was feeling. So as she was crying, I didn't know her, but I got very teared up and had tears myself, and I just felt overwhelmed. And the only thing that calmed me down is to sit next to her and just to comfort her and to ground her down and to hold her hand. And I think maybe we need to feel that to also push ourselves to take action and to help other people, because the worst thing is when you're an empath is that you know what's going on, and one thing that is tough is feeling really misplaced in the world. You feel like the world is so rough, and you, I mean, you can't watch the news, you can't watch violent things on TV and things. I've been you're sometimes exposed to things like that, but you when you come back to the source, that this is a gift, and that you, instead of, it's hard, but instead of being feeling helpless, that you can actually help people, maybe one or two, and it will help to uplift them and to uplift you, then you regain energy. But also being very mindful that you need to have, maybe your being alone sometimes is really good, to just feel yourself, like, okay, are you really feeling, taking on other people's emotions,
right?
Finding a balance.
It's interesting that you mentioned the physical touch, because I do think that even for both grounding the other person, but even for receiving, I know, you know, just a hug from my husband or a hug from my son can reset me so yeah. quickly. It's amazing how that can happen, how that
yeah.
can really just kind of, I don't know what it is. It's probably just an energetic diffusing or something that happens.
Yeah. But also, the connection is when we connect, we also live in a world where people are disconnected. When we connect and we bond, and yeah, you have the family, and maybe you have good friends or like-minded people. When you connect, you somehow also calm down everything.
I think it's interesting you mentioned the empaths helping people, and sometimes I feel like, man, why couldn't I have just been an accountant? Yeah. It would have been much easier, but I guess I didn't pick that for this life journey.
No, and I think you wouldn't be happy, because it would be too logical and too square. And we're meant to maybe people in this life, although it's, well, you're empathic, so you get drawn to those type of professions also.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
And when you're not living your inner truth, I think it screams loudly in so many ways.
Exactly.
And if you don't listen, you just seem to get shoved into it.
Exactly.
Nope, you're going this way, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
Really. Well, I love all of that. And I know we have a little bit of time left. So I wanted to ask you about, you know, I know that you're big into astrology. You've studied that, and I totally geek out on astrology. So where I live here in the mountains, I can see all of the stars, and we'll go to the mm-hmm. desert in the wintertime. And, you know, I can spend hours just, you know, in that space. But one of the things that I first heard about 10 years ago from my first kind of life mentor, she said, oh, don't worry, it's just that Mercury's in retrograde. And I was like, what is she talking about? But then I started kind of, you know, researching a little bit and using that term. And now it's really kind of a joke. Like people are like very aware of Mercury retrograde. When I first started saying that term, people look at me like I fell from the moon. But can you talk a little bit about what is Mercury retrograde? What Mercury in retrograde? What does it do? How does it happen?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's really, it happens quite often, as we can see. It doesn't mean that our life should stop, but it just appears that Mercury in the sky is moving backwards. But it has to do with, it's more physics, so it has to do with the distance from the Earth that it changes. So it's like, you know, if you're driving on the highway and you have a car further away from you, the speed looks different than if you're close to the car, and it appears that you're like passing. It's just like but astrologically and energetically, Mercury is the messenger. So that's like the messenger of the gods, and it's really fast paced. It rules our mind, our communication. It's, you know, it's the ruler of Gemini and Virgo, which are very mind oriented signs. It's really about paying attention to details. It's about taking shorter trips. It's about our neighbors and siblings. It has a lot in it, but what we usually experience during a Mercury retrograde is like our mind for once slows down. So it's a really nice period because our everything just starts. It's like we're not as maybe sharp as usual. And it really depends also on your own constitution and your own chart and where it lands and all of those things. So, but you within ourselves, we are not meant during a Mercury retrograde to be like starting new things and to be totally active and try to get things done. And retrogrades are there for us to, it's like yin and yang. It's like active and being passive. It's about being the giver or the receiver. It's like during retrogrades, we just need to slow down and be more conscious. And when you're aware of it, you can handle the retrogrades much easier. But if you just keep on going in the same pace and expecting that everything is going to work exactly how it always does, that's when we get some blockages and some unexpected things. Yeah, frustrations, because this retrograde and still since Mercury is still in its shadow period, it's really been like computers, phones, things like that for me personally has been not really working as usual. And it's also about writing and communicating. So we need to sit down and reevaluate, rethink certain things. Maybe a couple of weeks ago, we were like totally sure about one thing. We're like maybe just trying to review it and not taking a decision, but just trying to slow down and really thinking through, because usually we don't do that. We just like go on and just
go with it. Yeah.
Don't hit the brakes. Yeah, exactly. So during the retrogrades, the Mercury retrograde, it's things, small things, like it can be certain delays when you're traveling. And it doesn't mean that it happens to everyone exactly the same way, because it depends on where it lands in your chart and what aspect it makes with your planets. But generally, this is what they say. So maybe avoid signing totally new contracts, because maybe you haven't read things. You think you're so sharp in your mind, but during that time you're not. So maybe you miss important details and things like that. But we have now Mercury moving forward again, but it's also tracing back the same degrees that it passed. So this is the third time it goes through these degrees in this sign.
It's just mind-boggling to me, all of the intricate details, but it is so real and true, even just from a basic, you know, if you fall into this sign in the zodiac and you meet someone that's got the same sign, there are similar qualities between you. I had my chart read from my birth location and time at the end of 2018. And, you know, she was able, and this was a complex chart that she laid out for me, but she was able to tell me with very specific, like, this is what's going to be happening for you during this time, and this is what's going to be happening for you. And even if I wasn't a complete, you know, believer and someone who geeks out on this stuff, I mean, there has been so many, you can't describe how it's just so spot on.
Yeah, it's really a science and a tool for us. It's a tool to navigate in this life. So it's like a universal map. And I think when I started using astrology as a tool to understand myself better, and then I use it now to just having these on my Instagram, just these general forecasts, and to understand also, like, highlighting that we're not alone in this universe, and Earth is not just here randomly, and we have so many planets and celestial bodies around us that are constantly, we're affecting each other. Everything is connected, so we can't be so disconnected and thinking there's nothing above. Like when you look up in the sky, then it's empty space. It's not
right.
Everything is energy. So
I think people are starting to kind of wake up to the power of these other planets and things like that. But I want to circle back on the power of the moon too, but I was in the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco with my son, and they have a planetarium mm-hmm. thing there. And we watched this 3D movie on dark matter. And I felt completely, I can't even describe it, but you know, the fact that we've not been able to touch it, smell it, test it, but it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's all around us. It's literally holding the foundation. It is the foundation of the universe. And, and I was so enthralled by that. And then, to come to find out they're putting a large camera on a mountain in Chile to try to film this, to try to capture a picture of it. And to me, it just seemed like almost like godlike, that the dark matter is almost godlike. It is everything. Yeah. It is the all.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was really mind-blowing.
Yeah, when you think about the universe, it's mind-blowing. Because we're so restricted in our thinking sometimes. We just walk around, you know, in our everyday life, and we think that what we see here is it. But imagine when humans didn't, I mean, astrology and things like that were also have been there before, like this type of science came, before we could take pictures and have satellites and things like that. There was like a knowing, because we are from that. So we, of course, we have inner wisdom about that. But if you just look at the universe, it's amazing. If you think about just the shape of that, it's like circular celestial bodies, round, and it's so perfectly shaped like that. And we just accept it, and we don't think like, how, like there must be a consciousness behind this, or do we think everything is random, our life is random, this universe is just randomly there? It's so big, and it's really mind-blowing. I get very excited when I think about it.
I know, I literally could spend an hour with you talking just about that. I really could. And then, so to circle back on the moon, you know, being our most close celestial connection, and the power of our own moon is incredible. I think about how, you know, fish feeding and how they feed on that, and the tides and feminine cycles, and how completely connected we are to this rock, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy because in our body, we are, in the female body, when we're balanced, we are going with the moon. And if you think about month, it's the cycle of the moon. So we have been very conscious about its phases and its cycles. And there is a connection. I think we connect to the moon. It's almost unexplainable, but the connection to the moon is so strong. The sun is very everyone can connect to the sun because we can directly feel it on our body, and we know when it's warm or cold. But the moon is something beyond that. It's like below the surface. It's something that connects deeper with us, and it's an intelligence, and it really, I mean, we had the new moon yesterday, and it's like directly you can feel that there is a shift, and that something is starting over, and how it affects other people as well that are maybe not aware of the moon phases. So it's really a great resource for us, the moon.
Well, and even the animals, you can see. And so we kind of circle back to that. Animals are so intuitively connected to the moon in so many ways. So they're listening beneath, like you're describing. I got married on a waxing gibbous intentionally so that our love would grow. I think it's just really one of those things that I'm thankful that more lately people, you know, they seem to be, they don't think you're too woo-woo when you, you know, when you start to talk about it now. I think they're like, yeah, there's something to this, you know, there is something here.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm it's, thankful.
The knowledge is out. Yeah, me too. The knowledge is spreading and the moon affects the physical waters also. So people are aware, but it's just taking that to a deeper level. Sometimes it can be hard, but people notice it in their sleep and how they feel if they really get in touch with that.
Yes, it's absolutely so true. Well, I can't believe I've just taken an hour of your time. I just feel so blessed to have gotten to sit here and just talk with you like this. It's really a gift.
Thank you so much. It was really a nice talk, and I'm happy to share and to also to listen to your wisdom and knowledge, because it's really nice to connect in that way. We all need to connect more, I think.
I feel like you're like the Alan Watts of my time. Like you really have this gift, Shireen, that's just so impressive and powerful, and what's beautiful is that you're using it to touch so many people's lives in such a positive way. And so I hope that you continue to share this with the world in the way that you are. And it sounds like you're doing great self-care to be able to continue to.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really grateful and I hope to connect again.
Oh, I would absolutely love to get to pick your brain more on all things astrology and otherwise. So I really do appreciate you taking the time. And I know it's early in your day on Saturday and late in my day on Friday. But I
amazing.
Feel so blessed to have technology for this.
Me too.
To get to
yeah, truly. Yeah, imagine how far we are, 9 hours apart, and we can speak like this. It's truly a blessing.
It really is. It is. And so this is the one piece of technology that I do love.
Yes,
and I'm glad
me too.
That Mercury is out of retrograde, so that our conversation went pretty smooth.
Exactly. It was perfect.
Oh, well, I will talk to you soon, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out our links.
Whoa, is that?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.